Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the constantly changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome to the show. My name is Jeff Barton. I am your voice in the mortgage industry, and welcome again to another episode of our weekly show that we put on the air out here in the Bay Area. We are broadcasting today from our studios. Also, we'll be replaying the show down in Southern California. So if you are listening to my voice, if you are out there in our listening audience, understand that the show is for you. So we want you to give us a call right away at 888-713-2929. Again, I'm Jeff Barton. www.malibufunding.net is our website. You can go there and email us. Also, email us at info@malibufunding.net. Facebook, obviously, we're on there as well. And again, the phone number, 888-713-2929. Top of the show, what I'd like to do is go through some topics of the day as well as some news. I want to get right to an article I read in the San Jose Mercury News last week, written by Peter Carey. I hope I've gotten that right. And we, you know what? We got to have Pete on the show. I like his writing. I like what he says and the knowledge that he brings to the reading public that I'm bringing to you today. So his main article is that the Bay Area buyers are frustrated with the tight supply. And who hasn't heard that? It sounds much like it was back in 2005, 6, and 7 when the market got tighter and tighter and tighter and the supply got less and less and less and the prices went up and up and up. And that's the purpose of this particular article, describing how multiple offers, 10, 15, 20% over asking prices, not getting you the property that you want to buy. I don't know how that helps in terms of information, but that is what's happening. Down in Southern California, it's not quite as bad. As a matter of fact, we've seen kind of a dip in certain areas in Southern California in terms of the price of homes under a certain price. But high-end homes, and certainly the Bay Area, San Jose, Oakland, and San Francisco itself, the prices are high. And so what we've got is a high price market because of the employment, because of the education, because of the number of jobs. And there's only so much housing, let's face it. They're not building a lot of new large-scale developments in the area. So what are you going to do in order to compete? Well, what I liked about the article is that it really described how many houses are for sale in this month and how many houses are sale last year at this time. And it just shows a upward progress in the amount of money it's going to cost you to purchase a house that there are fewer and fewer of. Now, how do we combat this? Everyone is going to say, well, you have to be financially secure when you get out there and do it. You do. And in the second half of the opening, we will get to purchase and what you have to do to become a better buyer in this market. And we want to make sure that you are the better buyer, and you want to make sure that you're working with the best realtors out there, obviously. But in order to get with the best realtor, you got to look around, you got to shop. Okay, what else is in the news today? Let's look. A couple settlements, one with Bank of America and one with Wells Fargo. If you're thinking of looking for the big bank on the corner, whether it's these two or some others that are out there, just remember that smaller companies, smaller lenders that are in the business today, that have been in the business like we have for about 10 to 15 years, we weren't the ones who got bailed out, and we're not the ones who are now settling these large billion-dollar lawsuits for either robo-signing or fraudulent dealings, or in the case of Bank of America and Wells, it kind of looks like these guys get in over their heads, government bails them out, and then two or three years later, they get in a lawsuit and settle it for billions. Well, I can't do that. If I was in a situation where we're underwater or we're having trouble with paying the bills, hey, we're out of business. Doesn't work that way with the big boys. I guess what I'm trying to say is trust the smaller lenders, your local lenders, the guy down the street who you do know, guy who might not necessarily be a household brand name, but somebody that works like for Malibu Funding, for instance, so that you have a personal relationship with the people you're dealing with and it's not a multi-billion-dollar corporation. Yes, that is a political opinion of mine, but it is valid because, as I said, there's nothing that boils my blood further than waste. And government waste or large banking waste is something that you and I can't do. I can't afford to do that. I've got to pay my mortgage just like anybody else. So to make sure that both you're working with someone that you trust and working with someone that obviously you can help them build their business and they can help you get the best loan possible. And it might not be the guy down at the corner. So in the news, yes, Wells loses their mortgage fight, so they got to pay billions. And Bank of America, they're in talks over their $12 billion mortgage settlement, and quite frankly, they're going to lose. This is the second time in a year that they've lost that particular battle, and now they're going to end up paying billions. Another thing in the news that I think is kind of interesting is that in California, and California being the biggest state in the country in terms of both population and the number of loan officers, licensed loan officers out there in the mortgage world, you have two types of loan officers. You have a registered loan officer, and the registered loan officer doesn't take the testing, doesn't do the education, doesn't have the background checks. They are employed by the large banks, whether it be Bank of America, Wells, City, any number of those, as opposed to a licensed loan officer, which is what I am. And they are licensed, and they have to go through a rigorous background check. They have to do testing, both state and federal testing. So you're passing two different tests, and you have to be creditworthy. So there's a lot of requirements that you have to have in order to get a license to be a mortgage loan originator, a licensed loan originator. So it says in the first quarter of this year, we have about 100,000 mortgage loan originators nationwide that are licensed through the National Mortgage Licensing System. Now, what does this say? Well, back in 2012, in the fourth quarter, it looked like there were 250,000. So what we've seen is a contraction both in the mortgage industry in terms of loan officers as well as the business itself. So it's a very good time right now to actually compete with different mortgage companies that are still around, make sure that you're getting the best deals possible, the different products that are out there in the marketplace for you to choose from, depending on what it is that you're actually in need of. Make sure you give us a call at 888-713-2929. Talk to me. I'm Jeff Barton, and I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. We have a number of loan officers that can help you with whatever problem that you're dealing with, whether it be a refinance situation, whether it be a purchase situation, you're looking to take money out of your house, whether it's you're looking for an investment, something to pick up and flip. I know that in San Francisco, for instance, is kind of tough in that even flippers are going for 15 to 20% over market value just because of the supply and demand. And as I said in the second part of the opening here, we'll get to the topic of the day, which is purchase. Purchase. That's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about how to get you into the house that you want to buy and how to get you securely financed so that when you go to compete with those 10 or 15 or even one or two other buyers, that your offer stands out. And when it stands out, you have a better chance to purchase that house. I'm Jeff Barton, again, your voice in the mortgage industry. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to get into the purchase questions and the purchase side of the show and exactly what it is that you can do to secure that purchase for yourself. Main thing here is when you talk to us, when you give us a call, we're going to ask you a bunch of questions about how you're qualified to purchase this house. Right now, the most financially strong people are the ones that the sellers are going to be looking at first. Obviously, you have to identify a property. Obviously, you have to come to the table with a pre-approval from a lender. Malibu Funding, yes, we are a lender. We are a direct lender. We are a correspondent lender. We also have the ability to pull what they call a DU. Underwriting finding and also an LP underwriting finding. These are both findings that you will need to present with your offer along with our letter of pre-approval. Now, what do we need for a pre-approval? We're going to need to know what your income is, okay? So the main thing here is when we talk to you on the phone, 888-713-2929, or you can come to us via email, info@malibufunding.net. And when you come to us, what we will do is we will try to ascertain from the information you give us, which is it's very important for you to be able to tell us exactly what's going on in your financial life, the amount of debt you have, to the amount of income you make, the amount of obligations you have, the amount of children you have, whether you've got children from a different marriage, whether you've got a building that you're claiming you're making X amount of money, but yet you're writing off Y amount of dollars, so therefore the net on that particular building is different. Another thing that we have in terms of a purchase for you is the ability to do non-QM loans, and we will be getting to that in future shows. What we want to do is be able to offer you not only Fannie and Freddie Mac products, and what I mean by that is when we do a loan and we fund that loan, we sell that loan on the secondary market to really two people, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They are quasi-governmental. They are actually independent, but they were taken over during the downturn, as you all probably know, to the tune of about $186 billion, which has been paid back. And right now, loans the past 3 years have been performing great. And with the turmoil around the world, as you may or may not know, the flight to mortgage bonds in the United States market is large. Therefore, what that means to you, it means that the interest rates are going to remain low for a while. The product that we can offer you in both the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac line and also non-QM. QM is a term that has just come about in the mortgage industry, which basically tells us that the government is giving guidelines in order to sell to Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. If you can't meet those guidelines and you sell to the private market or the private equity market, which is a growing market and we need a healthy secondary market, stated loans, equity-based loans, these used to be the purvey of hard money deals. Well, now you can't purchase a house on hard money anymore. It's illegal. So what we've got now is non-QM products. And the non-QM products, which are great products, have actually lessened the amount of interest that hard money used to charge. Hard money, it used to be, there's a lot of companies out there, whether it's commercial or whether it's an actual guy who has hedge fund money or some private money group that has gotten together, which will lend you money based on a term, usually 1 to 3 years, usually 10 to 14% in that range. The commercial houses, which have also dipped into the 1 to 4 residential units, their particular interest rates probably are a little bit lower than that, 9 to 12%. And usually they charge you 1 to 3 points. And again, it's usually 2 to 5 years in that range in terms of the terms. These loans that we're coming out with, the non-QM products, they are not hard money. So the interest rates are going to be quite a bit lower. The terms are going to be a lot better. And the market for these, which we believe is going to pick up because a stated loan product. You have a customer out there. I have plenty of friends out there in the movie business. I have plenty of friends out there in the real estate world as well. And there are a number of industries which have non-traditional weekly paychecks. You may kill it 1 week and make a ton of dough and then not get paid for a while. If you've been working on a deal for a number of months and all of a sudden you make one big paycheck, well, that's a self-employed borrower or a commission-based borrower. And normally, when you're going to lending institutions, it's very difficult to look at that borrower and see that what we've got is a steady paycheck. And one of the things about QM is that as a broker who you would be talking to or as a lender that sells to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, we have to prove that you can pay that loan off within, well, whatever the term of the loan is, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 year, whatever the loan term is, it's part of QM, and there's a number of guidelines and steps that you have to take in order to prove that that person more than likely is going to be able to pay off that loan. Well, non-QM, they don't have the same constraints because the market for those loans is in the private world, whether it's sovereign funds or equity funds or Wall Street money or any number of ways that large dollars get put together to purchase mortgage-backed securities. So in doing that, what we can offer you is both QM loans, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac loans. Now, in the purchase world, you want to have all options available to you, especially if you're out there listening going, well, I'm not a W-2 employee that makes $180,000 a year to buy up here in the Bay Area, which I know I'm going to have 20% down, which, you know, on that $800,000 fixer that I'm picking up over in San Jose, I'm going to have to come up with $160,000 down, and I'm going to have to probably, you know, prove out through my debt-to-income ratio that I can afford this loan. So that's basically what we're setting up for the purchase side. My name is Jeff Barton, 888-713-2929. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. I want you to give us a call with the questions that you're going to have or will have probably, and we will check back with you after the break. Thanks very much.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net.
MalibuFunding.net.
We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
We had talked about processing. What is processing? How does it affect you? How does it affect the loan? How does it affect your purchase of a house? Because we're talking about house purchases today, and everybody knows that house purchases require a loan. Is that right? Today with me is Stephanie Graves. Hi, Stephanie.
Hello. Good afternoon.
How are you today?
Fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming on board. Stephanie has a very vast experience in both the lending, secondary processing, contract processing, working for lenders. Give us just an overall view of what you've been doing over the last... you look too young, but she was telling me 21 years in the business. I'm thinking, there's no chance. But she has a daughter. Daughter, is it?
I have two sons, 12 and 14.
Yeah, very busy. I have two sons, so very busy. Okay. So just give us an overview, a little bit of background of what you've been doing and how you came to be the processor expert for us today.
Well, there are lots of roles that happen in a loan transaction, and most people are aware of their mortgage loan originator, who ultimately takes their loan application via face-to-face, over the internet, over the phone. And basically what happens is all of that information is given to the processor. A mortgage loan originator is only as good as a processor. A processor role is basically to review all the documentation to make sure everything is in the file and do qualifying. You know, we don't want to work on a file or let a borrower think they have a loan if they don't qualify for it.
Okay, let's stop it here for a second. You know what happens a lot of times in our business, and I'm the worst at fault with it. Not you, but me. I tend to want to talk at customers by telling them exactly what I do and the complex nature of what I do. Okay, let's just break this down. I'm a borrower, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a guy. I've got a job, great job. I've got some questionable credit. I've got $100,000 down, and I'm going to buy a $500,000 house out in San Jose, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about it because it's a house I've been looking at. It's come on the market. I can afford it. And now I've got, you said, what an originator. What is it? What's an originator?
That is actually the loan officer that signs the loan application is fully licensed to be able to do as such with an NMLS license.
Okay. So I'm the guy then. And I jump out of the guy being the purchase guy. Now I'm the loan officer guy. I'm Jeff Barton. I'm a loan officer. I'm a broker. I have an NMLS number. So I'm a loan officer. So in this scenario, someone like the other me would talk to me. something like that. So in human terms, you find somebody you want to work with who is, you know, reasonable, who you trust, who you can see as a competent professional, who has a license, who is not just some Joe on the street, who can show you their NMLS license through the Bureau of Real Estate here in California, and to be able to say, okay, I'm going to trust this guy. Here's information, and they're going to fill out an application, right? It's called a 1003.
Exactly.
Right?
URLA, Uniform Residential Loan Application. And along with all the items that the originator, you, gather
right
from the borrower, they hand it to the processor.
Oh, I see. So, okay, very good. And again, I know this as a professional, but there may be a lot of you out there who hear the term processor or hear MLO or hear all these buzzwords. And really what it means is you're working with people. You're working with me. You're working with Stephanie. And these are the jobs that we're going to do to get you that house, that $500,000 house with $100,000 down, and to make sure that the process goes smoothly, quickly, and that you can close on time so that everybody is on board with the same goal in mind.
And basically, you have the borrower's needs, and you actually care about them. You're not a paper pusher as
right
a processor. You have, you know, your heart is into it. You care for these people's goals and making their dreams come true. So it's important for the processor to know what they're doing and to make sure issues don't happen,
right.
That jump through over certain hurdles to make sure certain things don't happen in a transaction. So the key of a processor is to get all of the items into file for what's called the underwriter, who's actually with the lender that makes the credit decision. The cleaner the processor gets the file, the documentation from the borrower, the cleaner their loan approval and the cleaner
their
close.
What does that mean? When you say clean,
clean.
What does that mean? Now, I know what you mean, but it doesn't mean that we go to the sink and get some soap and water. No. I think what you're trying to say is that the information that you give to your loan officer, you give to me, has to be accurate, it has to be up to date, and it has to be complete.
Complete, yes, sir.
Right. So this information is clean information as opposed to, oh, I forgot to tell you, I just bought a new car last week. Is that a problem?
Or if you have undisclosed properties on your 1040s, there's all sorts of things. So when the processor gets, you know, all the tax returns and everything, she's going to go through and have a check sheet and request certain items that are in a file before it's presented to the underwriter. If you present a pretty clean I's dotted, T's crossed picture to an underwriter, clean meaning you're going to get an approval back with not many things you have to do before you order your closing documents.
Okay. So let me just ask you a question. In terms of submitting, now I know that in this market it is essential that you walk into a purchase with a pre-approval letter. You just have to do it. Mm-hmm. Now we can provide those to you. Now there is something called LP and there is something called DU. Mm-hmm. Now these are automatic underwriting opinions from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, right?
Correct.
Okay, so who does that? Did the loan officer do that, or do you help the loan officer do that?
Well, Freddie Mac's loan prospector and Fannie Mae's desktop underwriter, the information is only as good as what is put in the computer.
Right.
Everything has to be validated. So up front, you know, if you can get all that information, everything's nice and validated and clean, the loan officer can run an LP or DU,
right.
The processor, whomever's pre-qualifying the client, before they even go looking for homes, which is excellent because you already know that you qualify for that, and that's a wonderful thing for your real estate agent to submit your offer with, especially when there are multiple offers going on at the same time, that it's been run through Fannie
right.
Mae or Freddie Mac's underwriting system.
So I think the point I'm trying to make is that the most complete and accurate and up-to-date information you can give prior to even looking for a house so that you can get a to-be-determined underwriting
mm-hmm.
approval from Freddie Mac or
mm-hmm.
Fannie Mae gives the weight of those two agencies that will purchase this loan behind your offer. And it makes the purchase offer that much more viable
mm-hmm.
when you're in a multiple offer situation.
Correct, yes.
Okay, now that we're in a contract, the DU was accepted and the buyer's all happy. I'm all happy. I'm the $100,000 guy and I'm all happy. And I'm raring to go and I've given you as much as I can. But just so that we can back up a little, what are some of the documentation? Give us a list of 5 or 10 items that may or may not be known by the people listening today of what they're going to need.
Okay, for a purchase loan, you're basically going to want to provide your most recent pay stubs.
Right.
Your past 2 years W-2s.
Okay.
Okay. And your past 2 years 1040s complete, all pages, all schedules.
Okay.
So those items, and then obviously the source of your down payment, which is a really big thing. A lot of people can get a gift. If you ever do a gift, always have your person who is the donor wire directly to escrow. Huge bonus, please,
okay.
please. Less documentation to provide. So basically, your source of funds for down payment, so that would be 2 months bank statements, all pages, most recent. If you're, you know, pulling out of your IRA 401k, you want to get your terms of withdrawal. You know, that's basically your income and your assets documentation.
Okay.
If there are any holes, some people have gaps in between employment. You want your full 2 year employment history, your full 2 year residence history on the application.
Okay.
You know, any a credit report, obviously, if there are any bumps or
do you talk to the borrowers?
Oh, sure. Well, I'm licensed, too. So the processor...
Awesome. And that's important to know, too. A
yes.
lot of processors are not licensed. So you want to make sure that when you're dealing, especially with us, with someone like Stephanie, that they're also licensed. Because there's a lot of issues with licensing itself. And competency is the main issue. So somebody who has been through the process, obviously, to get an NMLS license and who was also a broker is somebody that you can rest assured knows what they're doing, right? I mean,
yes,
that's the idea here is to work with people that know what they're doing, who care about you as a person, who care about you as not just another number like you would get, let's say, at a large bank on the corner.
Right. The personalization,
right?
You know, like I was
right.
talking about, it's heartfelt. felt. It's really, you put all you have into it. It's not a paper pusher and, I have to work on this file now. It's like, wow, I can't wait to work on this file and I can't wait to get it, you know, one step closer to where they need to be. Not only does the processor get the loan submitted to underwriting for loan approval, once the loan approval comes in, there are certain items that the underwriter may or may not want to see. Again, a more documented file in will mean you have to provide less documentation to move forward.
Right.
At that point, you get an estimated closing statement, which will list all of the figures, which every single borrower should see before they go to closing from the broker.
Right.
They need to have their hazard insurance in place when you're buying a home. Hazard insurance is your fire insurance that the lender requires to be. So, hey, have some companies in mind. Get some quotes. Usually you'll need your appraisal that will have intricate information on it that you need to get that quote. But, you know, maybe go to two or three different places. But be prepared. That's something that's usually always the last thing, you know, not in my case, of course, but that I've seen in the past. Insurance isn't in. What? Insurance isn't in. So, that's important in your payment, too. It all ties together in what your monthly payment will be and what your hazard insurance premium is. So that's another big thing you want to think about having when you're house hunting and that sort of thing.
Of course. Okay. And just understand that all of these questions and more, please give us a call, 888-713-2929. I'm Jeff Barton, and this is Stephanie Graves. We are in the business. We work with Malibu Funding, Inc., and we're, you know, really excited to be able to talk to you about whatever questions you may have on your current situation, on a loan that you may have already been doing, on a future loan that you're thinking about. But today's topic on purchase is apt because of the market conditions. You want to make sure that when you approach to buy a house that you are ready to go. And as you can tell by today's conversation, there's a lot of stuff that you need to do. So, Stephanie, I want to thank you very much for coming
in
today.
Thank you very much for having me.
No, it's a great pleasure of ours. Thanks a lot. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry.
For questions or comments, send email to info@malibufunding.net. Don't go away. The Mortgage Voice will return in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We are at the point in the program where we are going to take questions from our social media department, Facebook, Twitter, emails, anything we might have gotten from you from an online source. First question up is a guy named Frank. Frank asks, I have an adjustable rate mortgage coming due for an adjustment. What can I do? I do not want my payment to go up. Well, I don't want your payment to go up either, Frank. And here's the problem with a lot of what ARMs are. When you have an ARM product, ARM means adjustable rate mortgage, you will have a fixed rate period. After that period, there will be an adjustment of your loan. So let's say you got into an adjustable rate mortgage 3 or 4 years ago, and the mortgage rates are really low. So you have a 2.9% interest rate. You're stoked. Your payments are really low, but you notice that fixed rate period is going to be due. So you're thinking, oh my gosh, my loan is going to adjust to a higher rate. What is the higher rate? How much is it going to be? Can I afford that? Now you start panicking. Well, in order to really understand what your loan is, what your adjustable rate is going to be, and what your new payments are going to be, you would have to let me take a look at that note. I have to see what is exactly that we can do to help you. Because what you do not want to have is an adjustable rate over, let's say you're at 2.9, and the first year it might go up a point, second year it might also go up a point, and now you're looking at the fixed rates around you for 30-year fixed at 3.5%, let's say, or 4% or 4.5%. So now you have to start to weigh whether the adjustable rate mortgage that you currently have, even if it adjusts, is going to be worth staying with or to get into a product which is going to be fixed for a longer term. I always suggest to go for the longer term fixed rate product simply because you know what your product is going to be for the next 10, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. However, if you're the type of person that can say, all right, I may not be in this house for more than 3-4 years. Maybe it's a good idea to stay with a lower price. So what I'm trying to say is you need to call us. The number here is 888-713-2929. I'm Jeff Barton. Make sure you pick up the phone now and give us a call, Frank, or anybody else that might have this type of issue. An adjustable rate coming due. The adjustable rate time period is up, and your mortgage is going to go up. You're getting nervous. You're not quite sure how much it's going to go up, and you want to make sure that your payments are fixed for a longer period of time. Or maybe you want to get into another ARM, another low rate, another lower payment, because you're thinking, okay, I may move. I've got a new job coming up in a different part of the country, and it's quite possible that I may not be in this house for the next 3 or 4 years. I may move in 2 years. So to look at your situation, to be able to help you decide for your future, what you want to do, you want to make sure you give us a call, because that's the type of individual attention you're going to need from us or from one of our lending partners here at Malibu Funding. 888-713-2929. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. I want you to give us a call with the questions that you're going to have or will have probably, and we will check back with you after the break. Thanks very much.
For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. And stick around for more of The Mortgage Voice on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
We had some topics at the top of the show. We wanted to talk about the purchase market. And we wanted to talk about how people get loans. And we talked a little about processing. Now I want to talk to you about how you are reached by people like me. Nobody likes that term, the dreaded marketing term. But today we have with us a great guest who's going to explain a little bit about what that is and how it benefits you as the consumer. His name is Emil Youssef. Emil, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm just great. He's a owner and president of New Era Financial Group. And I take it that that particular group and what you do affects obviously me, because I'm the type of guy that's going to use you. So I'll call you up and say, hey, I need more people to call me so that I can help them get a loan. And today, purchase loan is really needed. But what do you do? How do you reach consumers? What's the main thing that you do? And again, this is a topic by which nobody wants 50 phone calls at 8 o'clock at dinner. Okay, so what do you do in order to be different than that? And how do you reach consumers in order to tell them about services like Malibu Funding, me?
Oh, absolutely. Well, thank you for the opportunity, first and foremost. Marketing is a very, very broad category. Originally, 5 years ago, marketing consisted of print, media, advertising, radio.
Right.
And now it's become a little more fragmented. Now we're talking about social media, mobile, video platforms, to basically all in an effort to try to create an impression with the community. There's really two distinct ways that you could approach somebody. You know, I use the term attacking somebody or attracting
somebody. Right, nobody
somebody.
Wants that.
Yeah, so the attacking companies, as far as their marketing, will do telemarketing, high-end sales, kind of pushy. That's not something that we do. And we find that that's something that's not really as effective in maintaining the clients long-term and getting the referral business.
Do you know when that changed? I mean, I remember, 10 or 15, like you were saying, you would get call after call after call, and then finally they passed that do not call list thing, and thank God for that. You're absolutely right. Nobody wanted to get called, like I say, at dinner. It was annoying. So it changed, 5, 7, 10 years ago, something like that?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's still changing and evolving at perhaps even a more rapid pace. So the way that I see marketing shifting in the landscape is yes, as a result of not being able to reach them directly, you have to be a little more sophisticated. Radio is definitely very effective. TV is effective.
Yeah, thanks for that plug. I appreciate that. It's very good.
Send him a wink there.
TV
obviously is effective, but it's very too difficult. It's too difficult for the average small to mid-sized company to get into that space.
True.
Whereas social media, mobile, internet, video platforms with targeted email lists, knowing who your consumers are, it could be referral partners, it could be level one clients or the actual consumers.
Okay, just went over my head. Let's just slow it down here. Okay, so let's break it down just a little bit.
Sure.
Social media. Hate the term, kind of know what it is. My kids know it better than I do. We're talking about Facebook. We're talking about LinkedIn, maybe. We're talking about Twitter. We're talking about Tumblr. We're talking about Snapchat. We're talking, you know, are these the kind of things we're talking about?
Sure, absolutely. I think there's two of them that are very effective, Facebook and Twitter. And okay. Now, as of late, Pinterest is really becoming effective, especially with a female demographic between the age of 25 to 55.
What's Pinterest? I don't know.
Pinterest is a visual-based platform where where it really started as a recipe fashion thing, and now it's taken off. And so a realtor in a Pinterest page would basically show pictures of the community, the restaurants, the homes that are for sale. It's something that is visually driven rather than the three major ones I would say are Pinterest, Twitter, and Facebook. However, if you're a relocation realtor, then I would suggest something like a LinkedIn. Where people can look at you. But again, the biggest difference between now and before, and perhaps this is a positive thing, is that, you know, all these mechanisms are really don't lead to direct leads, more so than they create an impression or, you know, a view of you. So, for example, if you organically run into somebody, this is the age where now people Google you after they talk to you.
Right.
Hey, I really like Jeff Barton. Let me check him out.
Right.
And then when they check you out, that's really where your marketing comes into play now. They
is look that age specific? I mean, look, I'm not a young guy, so if you see my picture, please, you know.
I'm almost there with you.
Right. So, I mean, do you find that younger borrowers or younger clients or younger people in general, or do you find that it crosses all demographics?
Well, both statements are true. It definitely is something that is more heavily weighted towards the millennials and the younger generation, but it is something that is becoming all-encompassing. In fact, part of the things that I do is basically doing social media boot camps for agents, especially older agents who perhaps are a little outdated in today's market.
Oh, I see.
So it's daunting. Either A, you could help them create one themselves, or B, do it for them on their behalf.
You know what? Give us a call, 888-713-2929. This is pretty interesting stuff in that it's up to date, and it's really right now with what both the consumers, you guys out there in the audience, are doing in terms of finding people, whether it's on an Angie's List, a Craigslist, a Google search, however you're finding people to do business with. From a marketing standpoint, you may want to understand what the marketers are trying to do so that when you do search, you're understanding what you're seeing. Because I'd imagine, Emil, that what's put out there in all of these platforms are something that you specifically want your viewership or that particular type of client to look at. It may not be 100% of who you are, but it certainly is the image you're pushing out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you touched upon two distinct subjects there. And, you know, what we're talking about is targeting. You have your traditional media like radio and, you know, a TV, which is very broad. You know, certainly there's demographic data. And then you have, you know, the internet space where you could serve an ad to a highly targeted person who perhaps may be a soccer mom at this age, at this city, at this zip code, and has these interests. So what Facebook and essentially the digital approach has allowed you to do is to take a very targeted approach.
I see.
For example, I can buy a list in Orange County of all the realtors, and then segment that list by buyer's agent, and then segment that list furthermore by zip code, and then segment that list furthermore by successful realtors in that market, and then set a very targeted campaign to the successful purchase agents talking about my services. So that way, when I get a call, essentially it's almost pre-qualified.
I see.
So what I see is happening in the digital sphere is actually, in some ways, more efficient for both the consumer and the advertiser because, you know, it's a much more efficient matchmaking.
Do you think that, okay, that's interesting. Do you think that that is how most marketing is done today, or just people who, like yourself, have been in the space and are kind of experts in what you do?
Well, absolutely. That's a good question. I think it is a new field, relatively speaking, and one that's going to grow. And it's a industry that is actually going to take share away from TV advertisers and radio advertisers, and hence the reason why they've been suffering. Going forward, obviously, every company needs all forms of marketing. But now I think going forward, it's going to be more heavily weighted towards the digital platform because of the control that it gives you in terms of targeting the specific demographic and client that you're looking for that you just simply cannot get with traditional media. Let's take mailers, for example.
Right.
You send out 10,000 mailers in hopes of getting a quarter to a half a percent response ratio if you're lucky.
Good. Yep, that'd be good. And then what happens? You don't get that, or the people that you do get are interested in just bending your ear or not following through on a loan or not following through on any kind of purchase or client interaction. It's tough. Marketing has always been an issue with people in any industry. Now, from the consumer standpoint, your method would probably yield a better success and lower resistance because you're targeting people who would absolutely need what you have to sell them.
Absolutely. And to expand on that point, I've always been personally a believer in the way that I started my own business in attracting my clients versus attacking my clients.
Of course.
Because remember,
to your original point, the two things, one's attacking and the other one is attracting.
Absolutely. Right. So you know, obviously marketing and sales go hand in hand, whereas sales is your ability to close a client that you currently have. Marketing is more a function of bringing in those clients to the salesperson. So you could be the greatest salesperson in the world, but if you don't know how to market, you're going to be very limited.
Right. And the ratio. Everybody's going to want to know this. How much money to how much money? I mean, if I'm spending X amount of dollars on a certain marketing campaign, how many clients are going to come in the door, and how many people do I expect to earn money on? Because as any business owner, small, big, in any industry, they're going to want to say, hey, look, I'm going to spend all this money on marketing. What is my return? And, of course, every marketer I've ever heard says, I really can't guarantee you.
Well, that's a great question for me because I'm very analytically oriented myself. My nickname is the Excel guru. So I do track things, everything. And so one of the things that I would say is that you need to set up a system where you have measurables. And it's not just on the marketing end. It's also on the sales and management and structural end with the people who are receiving those leads. So, for example, you did a budget for on a radio, let's say for a nice even number of 1,000.
Right.
You got 5 calls, of which you funded 1. Now, you could look at that in 2 ways. You could look at that as your cost per lead, which is 5 divided by 1,000, 200 per lead. Or you could look at it as cost per funded lead,
right,
which is $1,000 per funded lead.
Correct.
Furthermore, you could see what your statistical average revenue is, let's say in this case, $5,000 per transaction. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you got a 20% return based on your investment. So those numbers are very easy to come by so long as you have somebody you're working with that tracks it and measures it.
Right.
If you don't have the systems in place, then you really are working in the dark.
Yeah, and that's true. I know that in this topic and what we're trying to do here is to provide information both for the consumer and for agents and people in the business to take advantage of exactly what Emil's talking about. We're talking with Emil Youssef. He's the owner and president of New Era Financial Group about marketing in general, and then marketing specifically through social media, attraction marketing versus attack marketing, which is exactly what I'm looking to do with my company. My name is Jeff Barton. Emil, thank you very much for coming in today. We'll do it again.
It was a sincere pleasure, and I look forward to that.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Oh, that was interesting. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad that Emil came in and talked a little about the marketing aspect of how is marketing working, and how does it work when a guy calls you up and you're like, I'm having dinner, I don't want to talk to him? What's behind that? What's a targeted way that they're actually picking you out of a hat? Or is it just the guy who is looking to, you know, sell you some screen doors in the local neighborhood? Marketing aspect in and of itself is more than just a guy on a phone talking to you. And understanding that, you could probably understand why they're calling you and maybe learn a little bit about them and why they're contacting you, as to give you education in the marketplace as to who you are to these people. Also, I wanted to talk and thank Stephanie for coming in and talking about processing. Processing, yes, it is not just a person in the back room taking your documents and feeding them into a email and sending them off. It's structuring. It's placing the loan. It's making sure that the borrower understands exactly what's happening in the process. Along with the mortgage loan officer, your processor is probably the most important person in the transaction, in that they are behind the scenes quarterbacking everything between all the different parties of the loan to send it over to the lender to the underwriting department, and then also satisfying those conditions that come back to us here at Malibu Funding in order to make sure that we can fund the loan on time. Really important, really interesting stuff. I wanted to thank both Emil and Stephanie for coming in today. Also, when we got into some of the questions and answers, look, if you've got a question or comment on what we've done, make sure you give us a call, 888-713-2929, and we can definitely answer whatever concerns, comments, questions you might have about the show today or in future shows. We're here each and every week, and I'm real happy to be able to bring the show to you on a weekly basis. A couple of things in closing that we wanted to talk about: market conditions. The real estate market out there is extremely hot. We know in the Bay Area, in San Jose, in Oakland, in San Francisco, in the different neighborhoods that we've been bringing the show to. You know, look, real estate's really tough out there, very competitive. You want to make sure that you have a good, strong lender behind you when you go to make your offers. Or even if you're wanting to sell, let's say you're a seller, you're in the marketplace, you're right now wanting to sell your property, and you're fielding 3, 5, 7 offers. Well, you better make sure that those people are qualified. We can do that too. We can make sure that the people that are bringing offers to you, even if they have their own lender, you need someone on your side to be able to look at those offers, to look at the financing behind it and say, hey, look, this is a good borrower, this is a bad borrower. We are not in place of the real estate agent. No, that's not our job. Our job is to do financial analysis based on our experience in the marketplace. We've been doing loans for 12 to 15 years. We've done thousands of loans and close to $500 million in funded loans. We are also a direct lender ourselves. So we have some experience in looking at scenarios and borrowers and understanding the 40 lenders plus that we have, that we work with on the wholesale side as well as on the correspondent side, which is we're lending our own money. We have guidelines and such that we look at that we can be able to help you as a seller to be able to determine whether that borrower, the buyer, the person offering on that property is more qualified than the next person in the door. And that's extremely important. So make sure that you think of us when you're fielding those offers. 888-713-2929. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. And a couple other things. We did have news in the day. We had some issues about Bank of America and Wells Fargo out there getting into trouble yet again and having to get into court and paying off lawsuits to the tune of billions of dollars. We will in the future have some interesting discussions with some non-QM loans, non-qualified loans. We talked a little bit about that earlier in the show. I wanted to make sure that we give you a heads up on that next week's show. Also, we'll be talking about rates and where rates are headed and how rates are determined and what the secondary market does in terms of determining rate for you. So these are the things that they're upcoming in future shows, probably next week. I wanted to make sure that you are up on it and make sure that you give us a call with any questions or come to the website, www.malibufunding.net. I am Jeff Barton. I am your voice in the mortgage industry. And hopefully next week we'll have the mortgage doctor back with us to write you your mortgage prescription, Arvi Abramian. I'm sure he will be. And Arvi and I will be grateful and happy to bring you the show.
This has been The Mortgage Voice with veteran mortgage broker Jeff Barton of Malibu Funding Incorporated. For more information, visit MalibuFunding.net, where you'll find a podcast of this program along with past programs. You can also email Jeff Barton directly at info@MalibuFunding.net. And be sure to join us again next week at this time for The Mortgage Voice.
Jeff Barton, NMLS number 7968, and Malibu Funding, Inc., NMLS number 79620, are an equal housing lender. APR and ARM interest rates and loan options are subject to change based on market conditions and borrower eligibility. Call for additional information. Other restrictions may apply. For our latest offers, contact Malibu Funding at 1-888-713-2929, or for further information, go to malibufunding.net.